You're on Fab FM. Well, power in the Daintree is now a real possibility now that the federal government will help the Daintree rainforest community establish Australia's first solar to hydrogen based microgrid. At a media conference in the Daintree, and I attended that yesterday for Fab FM, and surrounded by rainforest, Federal Energy Minister Angus Taylor announced a grant of almost $1 million, $990,000, for Daintree Renewable Energy Proprietary Limited to take the 100% renewable project to shovel ready within 1 year. The money has been allocated in this year's budget under the government's $50.4 million Regional and Remote Communities Reliability Fund. Now, under this program, the government will support up to 50 off-grid and fringe off-grid communities to investigate whether establishing a microgrid is cost-effective and whether existing off-grid capabilities can be upgraded with modern technology. Now, this is a fantastic thing for the Daintree, because at the moment, all we've got is this diesel spewing all the pollution out of these generators, polluting the beautiful Daintree. Now, this is clean and it is green, and I still can't believe that some people don't want a bar of this for different reasons. Now, we'll come to those very, very shortly. But first off, the Federal Leichhardt MP, Warren Entsch. Let's hear from him yesterday. Of course, the Mayor, Julie Aloy, was there. All the Douglas Shire councillors were present at that media conference in the Daintree. But anyway, Warren Entsch, let's hear from him first up.
The Daintree area, this north of the river, the Daintree Coast community, will be the first community that we will be going down the track. We're announcing a $990,000 to do a business case, which is a shovel-ready project, so that it will be then available to actually start the work. It'll give us the costings, it'll give us all the engineering, tell us exactly how to do it, and so that we can then just go off the mark. My understanding is it's about a 12-month process.
That's Warren Entsch there. Now, of course, the Federal Minister, Angus Taylor, was standing alongside Warren. He had this to say.
These are essentially small grids, mini grids, micro grids, to be established in areas that are on the fringe of the grid, or indeed, as we are here, outside of the grid. The good news is there are now emerging technologies that allow us to establish extremely reliable and affordable grids that are disconnected from the rest of the grid, and we replace the old diesel generator sets that have typically been the basis for those grids with much more modern technologies. Now, that needs to get the right balance between transmission and distribution, generation, storage and backup. The technologies we'll be looking at are across the board, renewable technology as well as storage and backup technologies. And we will have the best in the world helping us to get this right as the first of our microgrid projects under this program. So this is a real priority for us if we win government. We'll support what is a crucial industry for this region and for North Queensland in tourism, and we'll ensure that there is reliable and affordable power in this area for years to come without 6 million litres of diesel being required.
Warren, yourself or the Minister, the critics of this have said that this will cause overdevelopment. What's your answer to that?
Well, look, you know, I mean, that's why the Labor government put in some years ago the Daintree Power Bill, the only community in the world, I think, where there was legislated prohibition of mains extended power. Now, the reason that that was eventually rescinded was because there was a thing called the Daintree Planning Scheme that was brought in. Now, anybody that's lived through that will know that there was a lot of people lost their rights to develop here at that time. And there was a lot of angst over that. Then there was the buyback. Anything of any significance was bought back. Anything that didn't have so much significance was also bought back. National Park took what they wanted to include back into the national, into the parks. The rest of it has been accumulated in private conservancies. So there is a mechanism now there that is very, very strict in how that is controlled. And so the fact that we're providing power here, affordable power that is 100% green is not going to have any impact whatsoever on the development, on development plans, because they're already well and truly in place. And can I say what it is going to have an impact on? First of all, on local residents. People come in and come out. Air conditioning is a discerning traveller, likes to be air conditioned, comfort when they come into these places. They don't want to be hearing generators thumping in the middle of the night, providing them with their power. And so what it does is it provides a, well, first of all, it, have a look at the Cow Bay Hotel. Five owners have gone broke all because of power. So, and all these businesses around here that have struggled and have not been able to survive. And the one factor has been power. So let's think about the businesses that are here. Let's think about the businesses that actually established here, bought properties here with a promise from the state government that they would have mains equivalent power within 5 years. And the government of the day, I think it was the Bjelke-Petersen government, reneged. So what we're doing is we're playing a bit of catch up here. And this is not about putting in a whole lot of new development. This is about giving a quality of life for people that have been in this community for most of, or if not all of their lives. It's also about giving the business community here an opportunity of being able to make a living out of here and employ additional people. Give them a break, for goodness sake. So, you know, any suggestion that this is going to have unprecedented development is an absolute nonsense, because that's what you have a council here managing a development plan that has been in place now for quite a few years. That's not going to change.
And then I wanted to talk to Warren and ask him about the system. Explain it to us in sort of layman's terms, I guess.
Can I ask you, without dazzling us with science, how does this thing work? You know, if you had to explain it to the everyday person.
You need your solar. That creates the heat that you feed into the water. And the water then creates the hydrogen, which you store in hydrogen tanks, not dissimilar to any other gas storage facility, and that runs a generator that is run exclusively on hydrogen. But without exclusively on that as well, you also have a backup battery system that where the extra energy goes into the batteries, so that if you're depleted on hydrogen, you've got batteries there to back it up as well.
So solar can generate electricity, hydrogen can store it and then reuse it at a later time, as Warren has said, and it's that balance that's key in a microgrid. And modern technology, a range of different modern technologies, can allow us to do this. And this is the key with electricity. And people look for a silver bullet, one solution. It's balance in any grid that delivers you reliability, affordability, and sustainability.
The other opportunity here too is for all of the residents that have invested for so long in their rooftop solar arrays, they'll be able to, like any other Australian, feed that into the grid. And they can get feed-in credits for putting that in. And while we also look at an independent solar array, because there's different lifespans for the existing solar. So you have that as an input credit into the grid. Which the residents will get a benefit, or the businesses will get a benefit from any solar that they have. But then there will also be additional, depending on what is the requirement, the engineering, you'll have a solar array as well. So it's really a win-win for the community.
And of course, Warren may get his wish. This is a bipartisan situation, with Labor now saying they will match funding and make this hydrogen grid a reality also. So it doesn't matter who wins the May 18th election, Labor has now promised that they'll go ahead with it. So you've got the Liberal and Labor bipartisan on this, for goodness sake.
And let's all work together. There's no reason why we can't work together, irrespective of your political background. Here's an opportunity to create something that is Australia first and world's best. It is a no-brainer, and it is a benefit for our local community. It is a benefit our resident community, our business community. It showcased to the world what you're able to do here in a highly sensitive World Heritage area. So rather than throwing stones, why don't we just embrace this and work together and say, let's get on and make it happen, and let's all claim some credit for it.
Absolutely. And I think that's what needs to happen now with everybody. We need to get on board with this and protect the Daintree from all of this pollution with these generators. Now, Russell O'Doherty is the man who put the information together for the federal government, for the minister, and for everybody else as well. He's put the information together about how much fuel is being used. Well, you just heard Lawrence, who rang the radio station earlier, per week uses 700 litres of this per week. So Russell O'Doherty's figures, they certainly make sense. Anyway, I spoke to Russell about it.
I've got piles and piles of data I can put on anyone's desk to prove that what our figures are correct. We contacted all the businesses up here and a lot of property owners. The figures that we come back, we'll use the government's fuel rebate scheme, so they're factual, they're accurate, and our figures stack up. There's Beach House, they use 112,000 litres a year. We've just had an email through 2 or 3 months ago from the owner. He had a look at over a 10-year period, and he said he has used 1.3 million litres of fuel in the last 10 years. You've got when we had Beach House and Coconut Beach running, they were using 343,000 litres a year.
But they're not now.
Fern Trees are still going. Beach House has closed down, so that takes probably about 130,000 litres out of the equation. But even Vicky here, I think she uses somewhere around 70,000 litres a year. The pub, 78,000.
Cow Bay,
the Cow Bay pub. The tea farm, I think they're somewhere around 40,000 litres a year. So we've got all the figures and we've got the list of properties that didn't have time to respond to our survey. So, and there are a lot of them. So our figures...
You think they're conservative?
Very conservative, yep. And if you look at it, 3.5 million litres to four... We're saying 3.5 to 4 million litres a year, conservatively. Over a 10-year period, that's 33 to 40 million litres of fuel in the Daintree. How much CO2 is that pumping into the rainforest every year? And it's the beauty of this system that we hopefully will be using. It gets rid of all the generators out of the Daintree. There'd be no need to have a generator here.
But the people who have generators, they've been told, I heard that this morning, I think Warren Inchell, the minister, said it, they can keep their generator if they want
it. Oh, yeah, absolutely. They can keep them as a backup. So if something goes wrong with the system, at least they've got that as a backup. The fact that because everyone up here, all the private residents, have solar power of varying sizes. So why shouldn't we be able to feed our power from the solar, into the network, get credits for it, the same as everyone else south of the river does, and then you use that. Obviously, they're looking at building a larger scale solar farm up here. There's plenty of land available to do it, and then that would complement the community solar input. So
it's all about storage, though, isn't it, Russell?
It is. It will be storage, especially using the hydrogen cell technology. So as Angus was describing, the solar will charge the hydrogen cell, which will give off the gas. The gas is stored and collected. It basically happens immediately, be stored in cylinders, and then that gas will be used to fuel a generator. So it's simple, even though it's high tech.
So it'll still fuel a generator?
Yeah, that's what the purpose of it is. So they use the hydrogen gas. Instead of using LNG or LPG or diesel, the hydrogen will fuel the generators to provide the power.
So we still will have generators in the Daintree, but they'll be running on clean green stuff.
Yep. Instead of diesel, it'll be all there'll be no fossil fuels whatsoever, and that's the beauty of it.
Now the mayor is still worried about the fact that there'll be overdevelopment here. It's okay now, she's saying, but what if there's a change in the council next year? Where do we stand there?
If anyone's, and I know a lot of people are pushing the overdevelopment line, it is a load of rubbish. In the last 3 years, we've had one property developed here, and there's about 160, 170 freehold blocks of land still available. But if you look at one block every 3 years, that's 300 years before the place would be fully developed.
Yeah, but now you're talking about bringing power to the Daintree. You know, suddenly people might be interested in developing.
Look, I don't think it's going to be a huge issue, to be honest, because the biggest drawback up here is employment. And the only employment really is through tourism and the Daintree Tea Farm. So you might get a retiree that might already own a block would like to come up and retire up here, and so they should, because they've purchased the land, it's got development rights on it, so why shouldn't they be able to do it? The town plan is so restrictive, you're only allowed to clear 700 square metres of any block of land, and try and build a house and a shed and have enough land there for your solar. It's so restrictive, it will never happen. There is absolutely no commercial blocks of land available north of the Daintree River for development. There's, I think, three or four blocks zoned light commercial opposite the pub, and light commercial would be possibly a shop or something low scale. So, we've had people saying, oh, there's going to be industry will be running rampant. There can be no more resorts because all those development rights have been taken away with buyback. So it's just an absolute furphy. If the mayor was really fair dinkum about the environment and the green accreditations that the Douglas Shire Council is getting, she would embrace this technology because it doesn't do anything to disturb the environment. As Warren was saying, all the network goes underground. There's no above ground at all, and it is totally green. So, and I've said to the mayor, use it to market the Daintree as a truly eco-tourist destination and be proud of it, and it's something that they should be. But she's not working with us, unfortunately. She's got this mindset that there's going to be overdevelopment. It's the line that DSSG are pushing. It's the line that Mike Berwick's been pushing, and it is a dead-set furphy. It really is. It's just a crocker.
Russell O'Doherty there, calling it as it is. Now, I gave the opportunity for the mayor to come on the program this morning and answer that and talk about what she heard yesterday and what her thoughts are. In fact, on the day itself yesterday, I walked up to the mayor and said, I'm happy to interview you now as part of this. She politely declined an interview, saying it was the federal government show today, which is fair enough, I guess, and that she would be available this morning to give me her thoughts. Now, what she did, she sent me a message last night saying, evening, Paul, just to let you know, I'm not available for an interview tomorrow morning from Julia. So she reneged on that, which I think is disappointing. I really do. Let me just check my text that she... And I sent her a message back straight away saying, when can you appear? And there it is. It's still there. When are you available? And no answer from Julia. So I did give her the opportunity to have her say about this, but she is not wanting to do that at the moment. In the past, the mayor has expressed to me on air that she's concerned that this scheme, despite being clean and green, could be a catalyst for overdevelopment, something the federal minister and Warren and a whole lot of other people says will not happen. So I think that's been pretty well cleared up. So disappointing. Surely this council needs to get on board with this plan. Liberals, Labor, haven't heard from the Greens. The Liberals and Labor Party, both of them, both believe this is a great scheme. So do I. Douglas Shire and council, including the mayor, need to get with the plan, back it, or they can be left behind with, the last of the hippies with their mud huts and smelly and polluting generators.